You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Welcome to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Podcasts of prior shows are also available. Just go to local programming, look for Your Financial Choices, and select from the menu available for any shows that are interesting to you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is a pre-recorded show this evening. The topic tonight is cybersecurity, identity theft, and credit. Remember, we do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And if you have questions, you may email them to yourfinancialchoices.com. Again, tonight, I thought I would discuss some tips on protecting yourself and your information when using technology, including understanding some of the terms and strategies and precautions to take. Generally, this means protecting your financial information from compromise. We will look at cybersecurity, what it is, identity theft, and protecting your credit. We can't cover everything tonight, but continued awareness and education will help you take the right steps in doing your part. The information discussed this evening is mostly from government websites. They have done so much research, so much work. It's available to the public. It's all really good information. And I thought, let's bring that awareness to the listeners this evening to know that it's out there and available. Websites such as ready.gov for cybersecurity, usa.gov for personal identity theft, and consumer.ftc.gov for credit freeze. So from ready.gov, this is the official website of Homeland Security. I didn't realize until I started researching this information for the show that there is this official website. So there may be additional information available there as well. But in particular tonight, I was focusing on the cybersecurity. And what is that? Cybersecurity involves preventing, detecting, and responding to cyber attacks that can have wide-ranging effects on the individual, organizations, the community, and at the national level. Cyber attacks are malicious attempts to access or damage a computer system. Cyber attacks can lead to loss of money, theft of personal information, and damage to your reputation and safety. They can use computers, mobile phones, gaming systems, and other devices, and it can include identity theft, which we're going to talk about as we go through the rest of the show. It can block your access or delete your personal documents and pictures. It can target children, cause business services, transportation, and power disruptions. Before a cyber attack, you can increase your chances of avoiding cyber risk by setting up the proper controls. So again, folks, this information is all available on that website, ready.gov. I'm pretty much kind of reading verbatim some of this information, but it really was so concise and appropriate for our topic tonight. Rather than recreate the wheel, let's look to this information that someone has already researched for us, which is great. They also go on to say the following are things you can do to protect yourself, your family, and your property before a cyber attack occurs. One, use strong passwords that are 12 characters or longer. I don't know about our listeners, but I know it seems like every application I use these days is requiring these stronger passwords. You go to type in a new password and it'll say not strong enough, or they'll have little bars that show you need to make it stronger and how to make it stronger. And we'll talk about that in a little bit too, as to what that would look like by using uppercase, lowercase letters, numbers, special characters. Changing the passwords monthly using a password manager. Well, what is a password manager? I personally have not used one yet. I am hearing more and more about them. And I did do a little further research on this. PC Magazine put out an article, a recent article, and it was titled The Best Password Managers of 2018. So that was from PC Magazine. You can get it online. And the editor's choice was one called Dashlane. There is a free version of that, but in the past, if you wanted certain other features, there was a cost to it, which was about $40 a year. But now it seems the premium price or the premium product cost has gone up to about $60 a year. There were a lot of other password managers that they reviewed. I think they looked at a total of 12. Some of the other ones that had high rankings were something called Sticky Password, Keeper, LastPass. So there are a number of password managers out there that you could explore to help you manage those passwords as we get more and more accounts that we're using online and more passwords that we have to use and employ. And what I find happens is they might all have different time periods that the passwords will be valid. So you might have one that might be ongoing, one that might be every month that you have to change. Sometimes we have passwords at work, and so many applications that where we used to be able to remember our password, or maybe, you know, a two or three passwords, now sometimes we're using 20 different applications that might have 20 different passwords. So that's where the password manager might come into play, rather than you writing it down and having it sitting next to your computer, or having it maybe on your phone or in a non-protected Excel spreadsheet. Password manager applications is supposed to help with that. Frankly, I get a little nervous about that too, because I think, what if someone hacks the password manager application? But I think that they put so many levels of authentication and security even on those websites that it's like very hard to kind of probably get through. So check out that article if you're interested in looking for maybe the best password manager for you. And again, that was PC Magazine, and the article was The Best Password Managers of 2018. Now, you could also use stronger authentication, such as a PIN or a password that only you would know, or consider using a separate device that can receive a code or uses a biometric scan. So let's talk about some of those terms. A biometric scan is basically a fingerprint scanner. Many people who have, devices now, smartphones, Apple phones, they use the thumbprint to open the phone. Some of the older versions don't have that yet. But what I have found, even with that, it's very handy. Even if your thumb is wet and you can't use it, there's a secondary code that you can use, a numerical ID pass. So generally, you would want to probably make sure that you'd have a couple ways to get into your device or into the site that you want to use. But I know that even for my own phone and some applications I have, they also ask if you want to use that biometric scan authentication. So it works out kind of well that I can do both of those on my phone with just my thumb. That is very, very handy and quite secure, I would expect. So looking for those stronger authentications. Sometimes you might also be required to give your cell phone number, so then you get a text to say what code to put in to then get into the next level of security. All right, folks, we are talking about cybersecurity, identity theft, and credit tonight. And we come back from this next break, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back in just a minute.
The many choices and real voices on WDIY are made possible with support from our generous, sustaining members. An automatic monthly gift of $10 on your credit card is an easy way to become a WDIY member and support the programs you love. Set up your monthly sustaining membership gift today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 7 or visit wdiy.org. Thank you.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we have a pre-recorded show this evening. We are discussing cybersecurity, identity theft, and credit. As we just discussed, the website for information on cybersecurity and what you can do to help protect yourself against cyber attacks is ready.gov. That is the official website of Homeland Security. And we are referring to these government websites quite heavily this evening because they have such great information. So we just talked about using possibly a password manager. That might work for some people. But bottom line, to further protect yourself, you really want to just watch for suspicious activity in general. So ready.gov goes on to say that with watching for that suspicious activity, you are going to ward off some of the danger that you could be put in regardless. So if something is too good to be true, or they're asking for your personal information, this is a flag. You have to take a moment, understand, does this feel right? Does this seem right? What seems out of the ordinary? So think before you click is what they say. Think before you click. And I think that's a great way to think about it. Also checking your account statements and credit reports regularly. They go on to say use secure internet communications, use sites that use the HTTPS. I really have gotten into a habit of making sure I look for that if I'm doing anything like ordering online or doing any personal information. I always look for that HTTPS. The S, I think back in the day when it first came out, people would say that means security. It's a secured site. So HTTPS. Use sites that use that if you'll access or provide any personal information. Do not use sites with invalid certificates. Use a virtual private network, a VPN, that creates a secure connection. I want to go back for a minute to mention that article again about at PC Magazine about the best password managers. That is one thing they talked about when they were analyzing what would be a good password manager application when they were reviewing it. And for example, that Dashlane, I know they said they offer that VPN, so the virtual private network. And what that does is it creates a secure connection across a public network is what I understand. So ready.gov, we continue, use antivirus solutions, malware, and firewalls to block threats. Regularly back up your files in an encrypted file or encrypted file storage device. I think people get away from doing backups anyway. So I think that is something that we probably need to check on more often. We get so used to our employers and our tech teams automatically doing backup to our information, but I'm not sure how much we're all doing it at home for that personal information that we have. Limit the personal information you share online. Change privacy settings and do not use location features. This is something to kind of point out a little bit more seriously. I like this. Limit the personal information you share online, change privacy settings, and do not use location features. I am surprised how often I will see things pop up. I don't have Facebook, but my husband does, and he'll get alerts that, oh, you know, Susie is in Kalamazoo at this restaurant. And I thought, really? Do we want the entire public domain to know that Susie's at this restaurant at this particular time? Means maybe she's not home. So be very careful about using some of those location features. Protect your home network by changing the administrative and Wi-Fi passwords regularly. I doubt too many people do that either. So often that Wi-Fi password is so complicated and convoluted that we can't remember it. When company comes over and says, hey, what's your Wi-Fi password? Can I sign in as a guest? And I know in my house, a lot of times, it's, what is that Wi-Fi password? So you're supposed to change that regularly. That's something to kind of go back and revisit. When configuring your router, choose the Wi-Fi Protected Access 2 Advanced Encryption Standard, the AES setting. Don't know what that is, but that might be something to look into. But for more information on what to do and after a cyber attack, go to ready.gov. So lots of information there. Let's move forward talking about identity theft. And this information comes from USA.gov, identity theft. So the first part we talked about was cybersecurity, trying to protect your information. Where might your information get compromised? What do we have to watch out for? I have to tell you that if we don't think like this, because we might not think like a criminal mind, then we can't always anticipate the exposure that we have. Because if we don't think like that, we can't anticipate it, and we don't know how to protect ourselves. So we kind of have to broaden our horizons on this and be a little bit more diligent about understanding what our exposure is. So identity theft is a crime where a thief steals your personal information, such as your full name or social security number, to commit fraud. The identity thief can use your information to fraudulently apply for credit, file taxes, or get medical services. These acts can damage your credit status and cost you time and money to restore your good name. You may not know that you're a victim of ID theft until you experience a financial consequence, like mystery bills, credit collections, denied loans, down the road from actions that the thief has taken with your stolen identity. This is interesting because I have had cases, not that many, but a couple cases where we have gone to file a tax return for a client and we do electronic filing and it gets rejected by the IRS. And we get a notice and it says it's rejected and it'll say, call this number. And we call the number and we find out that a return has already been filed for that ID number. Now, luckily, the IRS has really made strides in trying to protect taxpayers and to anticipate, I think, fraudulent use of people's IDs and tax return filings. For example, when there's huge refunds and the address has changed for someone, they're starting to find a way to be in front of that and not issue refunds. And sometimes they might send you a letter which will alert you, hey, did you file a return? I'll talk about more of that in just a minute. But it's amazing what someone can do with a little bit of information and how public some information is available too. I mean, I have seen Social Security's numbers on a site I'm not even going to mention because I don't want to give the ideas out to people, but I was surprised to see that there was a place where I could see Social Security numbers. So you just have to be careful and watch out for things. So what other kinds of identity theft might there be? And some of this, I don't think we would have thought of. Child ID theft. Children's IDs are vulnerable because the theft may go undetected for many years. By the time they're adults, the damage has already been done to their identities. I am wondering if this is maybe an up-and-coming tactic, because I have actually not heard of anyone having a child ID theft, so that's really interesting to me. I would be curious to know how does one protect themselves from that, because I get concerned about putting that information out there even to go check on it. So let's say you are concerned about your child's ID. If you now start searching for it, are you putting that out into the universe that now it could be, you know, vulnerable? So that is something I would be very curious. But if our systems keep getting smarter and smarter in protecting our ID, we get smarter, the IRS gets smarter, our credit card companies get smarter, our retailers get smarter. If everyone starts getting smarter about this, then I would say that the miscreants who are doing this type of activity might get smarter too, and might start using those tactics with the children's ID instead. So that is something we're really going to have to watch. Tax ID theft, we have seen that. A thief uses your Social Security number to falsely file tax returns with the IRS or state government. One thing that had come out, and I'm kind of generalizing here, and because I don't have the exact data, but I recall hearing that there were, you know, lots and lots of refunds issued on tax returns all going to the same address. Now, how could that not have gotten caught? So I think that is what they are working on preventing going forward. And I know also, I think at the beginning of the tax season, they're being more careful about issuing refunds too quickly, because sometimes it's who gets to file the tax return first. So we need to watch out for that. Folks, we're talking about cybersecurity, identity theft, and credit, and we will be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is a pre-recorded show this evening. We are talking about cybersecurity, identity theft, and credit. If you have questions, they can be emailed to yourfinancialchoices.com or through that website, yourfinancialchoices.com. I also want to remind folks that you can stream live at wdiy.org anytime, anywhere. And for podcasts of prior shows, those are also available on the website, wdiy.org. You can go to local programming, look for Your Financial Choices, and peruse the topics available at your leisure. We are talking about cybersecurity, identity theft, and credit, and I have referenced several government websites, which I really like using. I think they offer a lot of information. I'm really happy that this information is available and out there, and it's free. And the websites I've been referring to this evening are ready.gov and usa.gov for identity theft. And towards the end of the show, we're going to talk about credit and credit freezing and thawing and all kinds of things like that. And that website is consumer.ftc.gov. So consumer.ftc.gov for credit freeze. So when we're talking about identity theft, I was I guess we really don't have on our radar the child ID theft. So that's something to keep in mind. Tax ID theft, I think, has really come to the forefront. We do hear about that a lot. I do think people are taking stronger measures to watch out for that. You will see now where in the past you would have your Social Security number on your bank account statement, your Social Security number on your brokerage account statement, your Social Security notice on IRS notices or State Department notices. And we're not really seeing the full Social Security number anymore. Quite often you see it all X'd out except maybe the last four digits. What actually gets me crazy is I even see on the bank statement sometimes they X out the account number, and that really makes me crazy because when you want to go access your account, you need the account number, and if you don't have it memorized, it's not on your statement anymore. So that's with the credit union that we belong to, but we may overdo it in some cases. But I think there are a lot of steps that are being taken to help alleviate the aware of the public knowledge of our ID numbers. So you want to make sure you're watching out for that. And I think I will talk a little bit more about the tax ID theft in a little bit and what you can do if you are a victim of that. Medical ID theft. This is something I think we don't hear about too much. And it said this form of ID theft happens when someone steals your personal information, such as your Medicare ID or health insurance member number, to get medical services or to issue fraudulent billing to your health insurance provider. I do know that they recently changed the Medicare ID cards, and I believe everyone who's on Medicare should have received a new Medicare ID card now. I think they were doing it by state, and if I remember, I think the folks in Pennsylvania should have had their new cards by now. So if you did not receive a new Medicare ID card, then you need to follow up and check on that. I believe it used to have your Social Security number on it. And so they did away with that, and I think have a separate Medicare ID number now. Senior ID theft. ID theft schemes that target seniors. Seniors are vulnerable to ID theft because they are in more frequent contact with medical professionals who get their medical insurance information, or caregivers and staff at long-term care facilities that have access to personal information or financial documents. Senior ID theft. What we also know is that seniors tend to be more vulnerable to telephone scams. And, I've been surprised at how many intelligent people are taken in by some of these telephone scams, whether it's the IRS calling to tell them they've committed fraud and they owe $10,000 in taxes and please run down to the local drugstore and put it on a debit card and mail it to me. I mean, it sounds so outrageous, but people get so nervous and scared when they get a phone call from someone like the IRS. But we also see seniors compromised with telephone calls from people purporting to be from software companies such as Microsoft. They get a call and saying, "Hi, I'm calling from Microsoft. We need to get on your computer. Please log on, and we're going to take over your computer to help clean up this virus," or whatever it might be. This stuff, if it doesn't feel comfortable, there's nothing wrong with hanging up on these people and not participating. If it doesn't feel right, then something's probably not right. And we need to alert those seniors around us, our parents, grandparents, elderly aunts, uncles, about their vulnerability to these types of hacks and scams, etc. Social ID theft. We probably don't talk about this so much either. A thief uses your name, photos, and other personal information to create a phony account on a social media platform. There's a TV show, I think, on, it might have been MTV, called Catfish, where you heard about people posing as someone other than themselves to, have these relationships, online relationships. I suppose this could take it to a different level where you might not think this is as harmful, but it could be as harmful if they're doing things that may affect your reputation and could then therefore impact your ability to get a job or something like that, because sometimes employers might look you up online and see what kind of activity is on your social media. And if someone has impersonated you, that in the end actually could also impact your future ability to gain a job or employment or apartment or whatever it might be. So what are some steps we can take to prevent identity theft? So again, through USA.gov, take steps to protect yourself from identity theft. Secure your Social Security number. Don't carry your Social Security card in your wallet or write your number on your checks. Now, I thought that was interesting because it says don't write your number on your checks, but when we send our check into the federal government with our tax payment in April, we're supposed to write our Social Security number on the checks, and generally they give you a voucher to put in the envelope with you, and that also has your Social Security number on it, because how are they going to match your payment with your Social Security number? So sometimes if you're working with a tax preparer who has software, or you have software you're preparing the tax return on your own, you can do a debit from your checking account. And in that case, you wouldn't be mailing anything in. You wouldn't have to mail a check in. So you could do a direct debit from your bank account. Some people get nervous about doing direct debits from bank accounts. They might not want the IRS to have that information. But let me tell you, folks, the IRS probably has that information anyway. My hesitancy to do direct debits from bank accounts is that you might be filing your tax return on February 15th and the payment isn't due until April 15th. And if you have a direct debit set up and you say, well, I'm not going to take that money out until April 15th, then you might not have the funds in the account by April 15th. I've had a case where a client changed their bank account. They closed their bank account, opened up a new one, didn't tell us, and we had the prior bank information for the direct debit, and here the IRS goes to pull the money, and there's no account there anymore. So you just have to be careful if you are going to do any kind of direct debiting. But that is one way to keep that information from going through the mail one more time. Don't respond to unsolicited requests for personal information, your name, your birth date, your Social Security number, or bank account number, by phone, mail, or online. So if you have people asking for this information on the telephone, don't give it. I know that my husband and I quite often will get nonprofits, well, more in the old days. We don't have it as much, I would say, recently, because they probably know it doesn't work anymore. But they would call and say, hey, will you make a donation? Give us your credit card information. And depending on the organization, generally we'll ask them to send something in the mail. And then when they send it in the mail, we'll respond to it that way rather than giving that personal information over the phone. We have some more ideas for you as we go through the rest of the show here talking. We'll continue talking and giving some tips on protecting yourself. And we're also going to talk about the credit freezes and credit thaws as we go toward the end of the show. This is a pre-recorded show, but if you have questions, they may be emailed through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. And we'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000. Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We're talking about cybersecurity, identity theft, and credit this evening. This is a pre-recorded show. We are referencing a number of government websites that are pretty handy to have in your back pocket if you need more information on any of these topics. And the websites are ready.gov. That's R-E-A-D-Y. Ready.gov. It is the official website of Homeland Security. We also have USA.gov and consumer.ftc.gov, which talks about credit. So we're going to continue talking about the USA.gov website, talking about preventing identity theft and some tips. So we mentioned about not sharing your social security number, not responding to unsolicited requests for personal information. Also want to just throw in there before I continue, another way that people can, it's not always, sometimes the unsolicited requests are valid places. You know, they could be valid nonprofits or retailers or websites that maybe you've visited, but you have to be careful also for phishing scams. Those are those emails that you get that might be threatening. They might say you have been identified as someone who has gone to an inappropriate website, or they might say you have been charged with some criminal activity. So a phishing scam that is trying to scare you into acting or responding to an email, or that they need money. This also happens with phone calls sometimes, where a grandmother may get a call from a crying grandchild, crying for money. They're in jail over the border and need help. These are all kinds of phishing scams, whether it's, you know, email or even on the telephone, where they're trying to get you to respond with some emotional hook. So you've got to be careful of that. Again, if something doesn't feel quite right, something makes you feel panicked, uncomfortable, you've got to, as my mother always said, trust your tummy and see if it seems right. I've heard that there's situations where they might hold you hostage and say you have to pay with Bitcoin or pay with some kind of debit card or credit card, or they're going to freeze your computer, or your computer might freeze up. Try just turning it off, see if that works. That might clear it out. If not, you could always contact a local computer repair service or one of the big box stores that sometimes has staff on hand to help with you managing anything that you might not have been able to handle. So watch out for that. If you decide to go on vacation and you think, well, I'm only going to be gone maybe 3 or 4 days. If you don't have a neighbor picking up the mail, you might want to make sure that you put a hold on your mail. That could help. You don't want people taking things out of your mailbox. So when you're away, it's so easy to put a hold on your mail. Like, it's crazy how easy it is to do now. You can do it online, and I think you can also do it over the telephone. Also, make sure you collect your mail properly. So we were talking about email and being careful and diligent about your email. Well, we still have to be careful and diligent about our paper mail. Pay attention to your billing cycles. If bills or financial statements are late, contact the sender. That could be a clue of something. Enable the security features on mobile devices, especially if you have contacts, banking websites, and applications saved. Update sharing and firewall settings when you're on a public Wi-Fi network. Consider using that virtual private network I mentioned earlier, VPN. Consider using a virtual private network, which can give you the privacy of secured network. Review your credit card and bank account statements. Promptly compare receipts with account statements and watch for unauthorized transactions. Let me mention something here. We have had this happen. We travel to Michigan regularly. It always seems like when we are on the turnpike, after we've been to the gas station, maybe someone's taken information off your credit card that you're using at the pump, because we've had this happen a couple times where when we've had those kinds of trips, all of a sudden someone's buying $300 worth of gift cards at the local Home Depot in New Jersey. Well, that's not our local Home Depot, but all of a sudden it seems like someone's using the credit card. If you watch your activity or watch your statements and you alert the credit card company timely, there's a lot they can do to, you know, stop that credit card use. They'll issue you a new credit card, and I'm sure that it helps them probably track down or identify the weaknesses in the system if you can give them as much information as you can, and they're usually pretty good about it. But that's one of the reasons I like credit cards so much better than debit cards. I encourage my children, we have a family credit card, and the kids have one, and that's different than what my husband and I use. And we also have a different credit card we typically use for online transactions. So we try to use different ones so that if something happens, you know, we might not have to recreate all of our auto bill pay kind of transactions that we have set up. So keep an eye on the credit card activity. Encourage, if you are giving credit cards to your children, that they keep them secure. And again, I prefer credit cards over debit cards because debit cards might be tied to a bank account and they could have, you know, a culprit could have unlimited access to the cash that's in your bank account that's tied to that debit card. And credit cards have certain further protections of how much balances will be covered. Shred receipts, credit offers, account statements, and expired credit cards to prevent dumpster divers from getting your personal information. Store personal information in a safe place. Install firewalls and virus detection software on your home computer. And going back to creating complex passwords, as I mentioned earlier, using upper and lowercase letters, numbers, special characters, identity thieves may not be able to guess these as easily. Change your passwords if a company that you do business with has a breach of its databases. That's a good idea. I'm not sure people would think about that as much. Review your credit report once a year to be certain that it doesn't include accounts that you have not opened. You can order it for free from annualcreditreport.com. That's important also to make sure that when you're going on the internet and you're going to check your credit or go get a credit report, that you're going to valid websites for that and not entering personal information. So again, this is from USA.gov, and the website they mentioned for free is annualcreditreport.com. And I think it's because you can go to all three or choose of any of the three credit reporting agencies, and that's Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. You can freeze your credit files. I will talk a little bit more about that as we go through the show here. This prevents someone from using your personal information to open a credit account or get utility services. All right, so we'll talk more about that as we move through the show when we go to the consumer.ftc.gov information. So let's talk about what happens if you had your personal identity stolen or compromised, or you're worried about it. Well, you can report identity theft, and you can report it to the Federal Trade Commission, that FTC, that website that I mentioned, the Federal Trade Commission, and you can do it online or by phone. And I'm thinking if your personal information was compromised or stolen, you get very nervous about who you're reporting it to as well. I know I had this happen probably, gosh, it's probably been over 10 years ago. It was the very first Social Security number that was compromised that I was aware of. And what had happened was, we went to electronically file a tax return for a married filing joint couple, husband and wife, and the wife had passed away during the year. We go to file the return. We get a rejection. We contact the IRS. We find out that a tax return had been filed in the deceased wife's name and ID number. And it was, you know, quite frightening for the client and quite comprehensive in what we had to do. I mean, I helped him through it. We contacted the IRS, we contacted the credit agencies, we contacted the police. I think he even did an FBI report or something. There was a number of things we had to do. And at that time, it wasn't as, I don't think there was as much awareness about it. We didn't have like all these criterion steps that you could go through. But one thing I realized is that why might that have happened? And I think it had something to do with her passing and that they put an obituary in the paper. There was an advertisement about it. And that could have alerted people that this would be a prime candidate to go find this information. Or there are a number of people who are notified when someone dies, whether it's funeral directors, banks, Social Security, veterans. I mean, there are a number of people who might have this information, and there's a lot you can do to protect yourself, but sometimes you can't always anticipate everything. So you want to be careful, but there are a number of agencies you need to report this information to kind of protect yourself from ongoing theft. So you can also report specific types of identity theft. You can report medical identity theft, and there they recommend that you contact your health insurance company's fraud department or Medicare's fraud office. Tax identity theft, you report this type of ID theft to the IRS and your state's Department of Taxation or Revenue. Now, I know we reported this to the IRS. I'm not sure we did it at the state level. So that's, you know, another piece of information that would be important to know. Don't forget, though, about all the other organizations that you may have to report this identity theft to. Credit reporting agencies. One they mention here is contacting, well, let me go back to credit reporting agencies. The article says, contact one of the three major credit reporting agencies to place fraud alerts or freezes on your account so that no one can apply for credit with your name or social security number. Also, get copies of your credit reports to be sure that no one has already tried to get unauthorized credit accounts with your personal information. If I were going to do that, I would probably do one at a time over like several months, because sometimes your information may be compromised, or you might think your information was compromised. You might be worried about it, and it might not happen right away. So you might think, oh, you know, a couple months, I'm good. I don't need to worry about it anymore. But it might actually happen 6 months from now, 8 months from now. Maybe these people understand you're going to be on a high alert in this initial time period and realize that you'll probably get comfortable again in 6 months and not be watching. So I would suggest, if you're going to get a credit report, because they are free from the three agencies, I might do one and then a second one 3 months later and the third one maybe 6 months later to kind of watch. Confirm that the credit reporting agency will alert the other two credit reporting agencies. So if you alert one, that one should alert the other two if you are asking for that fraud alert or freeze. Report cases of identity theft that resulted from a stay in a nursing home or long-term care facility to the National Long-Term Care Ombudsman Resource Center. Well, who would know that or think of that? That's why this governmental information is good, because they're raising awareness for us for some of these agencies that we may not have otherwise been aware of. So National Long-Term Care Ombudsman Resource Center. And from this website, there's links to some of these things. Financial institutions, contact your financial institutions. There's fraud departments at the bank or credit card issuers and any other places where you have accounts. Retailers and other companies report the crime to companies where the identity thief opened credit accounts or even applied for jobs. Your state consumer protection office or attorney general. Your state may offer resources to help you contact creditors, dispute errors, and other helpful resources. And you may need to get new personal records or identification cards if your identity was stolen. And they have links on that website to learn how to replace your vital identification documents after identity theft. We can also go and talk a little bit about the tax ID theft and medical ID theft when we come back from our next break. We are also then going to close up talking about credit freezes, because this is something that really came up quite frequently after the Equifax breach that we had almost a year ago. That affected more than 145 million, and it was all in the news kind of constantly at the time. And there have been updates in what we can do and what's available to us since that. There's been legislation that's been through, so I want to make sure that we're all aware of the changes that have come down and what we can do to further help protect ourselves. So we'll cover that in the last part of our show. If you have questions, they are available through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com, and we will be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show, Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to WDIY, where you can listen online each and every week, streaming live, or listening to podcasts of shows that you might have missed that are available under the tab Local Programming, Your Financial Choices, and you can peruse the topics that may be of interest to you. Tonight we are discussing cybersecurity, identity theft, and credit. We are pre-recorded this evening, but if you have questions, they could be emailed through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. So we have been visiting some tips from USA.gov on preventing identity theft and what to do to report identity theft and different types of identity theft. Who knew? When we talk about medical ID theft, didn't know. Tax ID theft. So let's talk about tax ID theft for a moment. I had mentioned that you might first be alerted that your information was compromised or a tax return was filed in your name. When you go to electronically file your return, if it's rejected, that could be one of those reasons. But occasionally, even before we electronically file a tax return, perhaps we have not finished the client's tax return. They're waiting for additional information. It's not due till April 15th, but along comes a letter from the IRS, maybe in March, to the client. And the letter might be alerting you that there could be a problem. So if the IRS suspects tax ID theft, they will send a letter, and it's called a 5071C letter. That's 5071C letter to the address on the federal tax return. Keep in mind, the IRS will never start contact with you by sending an email, text, or social media message that asks for personal or financial information. So they're going to send you a letter first. That is, and frankly, every once in a while, I even get nervous about the letters, and I really make sure, is this a valid letter? They have all these special numbers, make sure it all looks spelled properly. It looks like it's a valid return address and things like that. But this letter will be sent to someone where the IRS suspects that a fraudulent return may have been filed. So this is where they are trying to be proactive and ahead of this type of activity. So if a return was filed in your ID number and there's a refund and it looks suspicious, they won't refund the money. They're going to send you the letter. They're going to ask you if you filed this return. And if you didn't, then they have stopped that perpetrator. And then typically there's some other additional information you have to do after that then. But that's one of their ways they're trying to be in front of it. You can report tax ID theft. If you suspect you have become a victim of tax ID theft or the IRS sends you a letter or notice indicating a problem, you can take these steps. File a report with the Federal Trade Commission at identitytheft.gov, and you can also call some numbers available there. Again, this is all information that's on USA.gov under identity theft. Contact one of the three major credit bureaus to place a fraud alert on your credit records. That's Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. And there's phone numbers available on USA.gov for this article as well. Contact your financial institutions and close any accounts opened without your permission or that show unusual activity. Respond immediately to any IRS notice. Call the number provided. If instructed, go to the IRS Identity Verification Service. You can also complete an IRS Form 14039, Identity Theft Affidavit, print, then mail, or fax according to the instructions. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't file your tax return, so you still need to file your own tax return. Again, sometimes it now means that you have to do it on paper. So don't think you shouldn't file. You still need to take care of your own obligations. How to protect yourself. One of the things they recommend is filing your income taxes early in the season before a thief can file taxes. Well, that's easy for the people who already have all their income information, but it's not always easy for everyone who's waiting for those brokerage statements that are coming in later and later every single year, sometimes mid-March, or K-1s, things like that. But file early if you can, and then also keep an eye out for any IRS letter or notice that states that a return has been, more than one return has been filed in your Social Security number. One of the reasons sometimes you want to file early is, you know, you might not be worrying about identity theft, but someone who could be taking advantage of personal information is maybe an ex-spouse who might be trying to file early to take advantage of certain credits they might get from claiming a child that you might both have custody for or you have some agreement. So be careful of that, because you'll feel kind of compromised in those situations as well. Some of the don'ts: don't reply to or click on any links in suspicious emails. So that's some of that phishing we were talking about earlier. Don't click on any links in text or social media messages. All right. Then they do talk about medical identity theft. That can occur when someone steals your personal identification number to obtain medical care. You can report that as well to the Federal Trade Commission or your health insurance company's fraud department. Kind of similar places to report that information. And ways to prevent medical identity theft: guard your Social Security number, which is in any case. Your Medicare health insurance ID numbers: only give your number to your physician or other approved healthcare provider. Review your explanation of benefits or Medicare summary notice to make sure that the claims match the services you received. What's the difference between a credit freeze and a fraud alert? A credit freeze locks down your credit, where a fraud alert allows creditors to get a copy of your credit report as long as they take steps to verify your identity. So there is a difference. Fraud alert: if you're concerned about identity theft but haven't yet been a victim, this fraud alert will protect your credit from unverified access for 1 year. You may want to place a fraud alert on your file. If your wallet, Social Security card, or other personal or financial information is lost or stolen. So lots of information out there. USA.gov, consumer.ftc.gov, and ready.gov. Folks, I hope the show has been helpful. I hope it's alerted you to information and resources and tips out there to help protect your identity and threats of cyber attacks. Thank you for listening. As usual, coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. I want to thank our producer, Neil Heaver. Join us next week for another installment of Your Financial Choices. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.